Kof Dalad Adar Sheni, Sunday the 3rd of April, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Matzah.
I think if we were asked to find a beginning for the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we'd probably come up with some interesting suggestions. I don't know, maybe we'd start with Esther Makkos, maybe with Avodah Moyinu, maybe B'tchilo Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Aviseinu. But I wonder whether we would have come up with Har Lachma Anya, the Achalu Avasana of the Arad Mitzrayim. It seems like a bit of a random start. Har Lachma Anya, this is the bread of poverty, maybe. The Achalu Avasana of the Arad Mitzrayim that our forefathers ate Mitzrayim. Why is that the beginning? We're not doing Matzah yet. It's going to be a while, be a number of hours, till we get to the Achilas Matzah. Why are you talking about Matzah now? Why matzah? In fact, later on in the Haggadah, we're going to say matzah zu she'anu oichlim. This is an Aramaic version. Ha lachma anyo. Matzah zu. That's the same thing. And if we are going to say it later, let's leave it. Why is this the introduction to Haggadah Shel Pesach? So the Maharal says an interesting thing. The Maharal says, Shatas Pashat. So the Gemara says in Psachim, that when the Pasuk says Lechem Oini, that Matzah is Lechem Oini, it's written with a Vav. It doesn't say Lechem Oni. And the Gemara says in the Fekuf Tezvav, the Pshat is, Lechem Oni is written Oini, because Oini can mean something that you say, that you cry out aloud, something that you say to others. Lechem She'oinin Olav Dvarim Harbe. The whole Haggadah is said over the Matzah. Now, if you would wait till the matzah, and only start relating to the matzah later, b'shas matzah zu, just before the end of the end of the Haggadah, then everything you said till then wouldn't be related to the matzah. And that's why we make Kiddush before the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Why not make Kiddush later? Come home, start with the Haggadah, so you won't be able to do the Achilas Karpas. For that you need Kiddush. But ladies, it's much better. The reason why you need Kiddush is because we're already about to start our Suda. And we settle ourselves down and we say, do you know what we have here? We have matzah. And this matzah is the food that we're going to be eating tonight. This is our Suda. But wait, we say to the children. We don't just say it. We show the children. We're oikah the ka'ara. Either they were oikah the shulchan. We're oikah the ka'ara. And we take away and the children say, where's that going? And you say, one second. You're right. We were going to eat, but before we start eating, there's something we need to tell you. And that makes it into Lechem She'oinin Olav Dvarim Harbe. Ha Lechmo Anyo. This is the Lechem Oini. And then we tell them, the Achol HaVason Barad Mitzrayim, and we invite everyone in. We invite anyone who wants to come and join the Seder. We're about to start. Hold it. Manishtano, Avodah Mayinu, and then we go through the whole Seder of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Halachma Anyoin is what makes the whole Haggadah Shel Pesach, Oinin Olav Dvarim Harba, all said about it. Fret the Maral, well, what about Moro? What about Pesach? Why don't we say Moro Zu? In times of Chazal, they could have said Pesach Zu. And why does the Gemara say that it's only Lechem She'inim Olav Dvarim Harbe? There's other foods that we eat on Leil Pesach. So the Maral, because the key to Pesach, the key to understanding the Seder, the central koyach that goes through the whole Seder, the theme is Matzah. And that's why the Matzah is the one, Lechem She'inim Olav Dvarim Harbe. Now we have to work out, why is it that Matzah is so central to Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I'd like to spend a few minutes trying to think about matzah and the Maral's Chiddush in matzah. The truth is, matzah is a very difficult concept to understand. We start off the Haggadah, we start off this Halachma Anya, and we invite everyone to come in. And what are we telling them? That we've got this special matzah. What's unique about matzah? Why is it relevant to Leil Pesach? So we say, Halachma Anya, Diacholu Avosono B'Arod Mitzrayim. This is the bread that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Where does it say that they ate matzah? Well, this is the only source. Why matzah? Why were they eating matzah? So we all know the famous pshat in Ben Ezra, the foreigner, the pshat is, a slave ended up eating matzah. Either because the oppressors would feed the matzah, because they reckoned it would last longer. It stays in your stomach, it sits and it sits and it sits. So that way they just give them one meal and keep them working. Or, says this foreigner, they were so busy they never had time to prepare things in advance, to roll the dough and then wait for it to rise and then bake it. They were rushing, they just didn't have time to bake a dough and stick it straight into the oven. They didn't have the time or the composure to prepare bread. And therefore, lechem only represents the fact that we were slaves, and a slave eats matzah. That's one pshat. And that would fit very nicely with Halach Ma'anya, the Achol Abasana, the Arab Mitzrayim. So Zeichli, Tzias Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim, all we could eat was matzah, and that represents the fact that we were slaves. Five. But then what happens when we get to Matzazu? Later on in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when we finally get to eating the matzah, and Rav Gamliel says, Kol mi shelo yomash shelo shavorim eilu bepesach, lo yotzo yedei chivosei, is the responsibility of basic chelik of the chayv of the laila is to say these three things and explain why we're eating them, why we're eating moro, why we're eating pesach, what's the significance of matzah, and what do we say? Matzah zu shon oichim al shumo. A new pshat. Shalei hispik b'tzeikum shal aviseinu lehachmitz, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael were rushing out, and then there was no time for the bread to rise, and that's why we eat matzah. So the obvious catch is, make up your mind. I'm not decide what matzah is about. The truth is, the issue is even deeper. It's not just two different reasons that are unrelated. Like, is the matter because we ate matzah in the Mitzrayim, or is the matter because we rushed out and we became free b'chipazim? They're almost a steer. Is it zeichel avdus, or is it zeichel cherus? Lechem oini is because we were slaves, and that means the matzah represents something that's to do with slavery. That's the mashmos. Lechem oini is yachol av son of Aaron Mitzrayim. It's a bread of affliction, a bread of poverty. If it's a bread of poverty, it represents that side of the saving. On the other hand, I could say faket, if it's b'chipozen yotzon Mitzrayim, it represents the gu'una from Mitzrayim, then it's sharech to the cherus. So is the matzah oini, or is the matzah cherus? A lot of rayas both ways, it's really not clear. There's a famous vort on the Manishtana, that the Manishtana is contrasting the two parts of the night. On the one hand, the two aspects. On the one hand, we have Moro, which is Zeichel Abdus, and Matzah Zeichel Abdus. On the other hand, we recline and we drink cups of wine, Zeichel Cherus. So we're asking what the child is asking. Besides for the Manishtana, he's picking up on the stir in the night, the tension. It's Abdus and Cherus. The Gemara says Mufurish and Kufchesim Psochim that matzah zeichel cherus and has a halacha de nafka mina. You only have to lean when you're eating something that's zeichel cherus. So the matzah, the Gemara says, clearly is zeichel cherus. So then what's this din of lachma anil yachol avasama? So the emphasis is the Rishonim say this taka two aspects to matzah. And when the pasuk says that you should eat matzah, shivas yom teichel ala matzahs lechem oini. The pasuk says, "Ki b'chipazon yatzasim Mitzrayim." The pasuk in Re'ei, the teaches the taka. There's two aspects to it. Shivas yomim teichel ala matzahs lechem oini is the avdus chelik. Ki b'chipazon yatzasim eretz Mitzrayim is the cherus chelik. When Zadis foreigner, that's goof of pshat. The Rebbein Shalom wanted them to experience avdus and cherus in one food. Hafecht amispedi lemocheli. Taking something that once was a symbol of the suffering of Mitzrayim, now it becomes a representation of the Geula of Mitzrayim. A chiddush within one pasuk, lechem oini ki b'chipazon. It's very difficult to see that in the pasuk. So the Maral has a new mahalach in what matzah is, which will bring together the lechem oini, the first half of the pasuk, the halach ma'anya, the beginning of the Haggadah, and the second half of the pasuk of ki b'chipazon yotzasim Mitzrayim, the chelik that represents the geula, and that which we say later on when we're actually eating the matzah in Rim Gamlil, kol mi shelo yomash shelosh hadvarim eilu lo yotzei ydei chivasei, it's zeicha l'chipazon. And the emesis, the chipazon, is something that requires some understanding. It's not for now. I can never work it out. I mean, of all the things you want to remember about Yetzias Mitzrayim, all of that, this is the Iker, this is the Yesod. Kibbechipozin Yotzias Mitzrayim, Machleik Shoshana, Rashi says the chipozin, the haste was that of the Mitzrayim who were chasing us out. Other Rishonim learn chipozin was the chipozin of Klal Yisrael, we're just eager to get out. But either way, I've never worked out why they didn't have time to make matzahs, to make bread. They knew they were going. Didn't they? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them clearly they'd be going? So why did they not put their sandwiches in the fridge? And if they didn't, so suddenly, when did they realize? At midnight they knew they were going. So start there. After you finish your carbon pesa, a long night ahead, bake some bread. Somehow they only thought of making their bread as they're leaving in the morning, and then they rushed out and all of a sudden the sandwiches don't rise. They only left in the morning. Nagid, Reisish, I don't know the Mitzvahs. For whatever reason, why is that the symbol of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Imagine somebody's been a slave for hundreds of years, and finally they're freed, and what are we going to remember about that? A song that we sang as we left, maybe. The dance that we danced as we left, something significant. No, but because, you know, there was no jam left. So there's only peanut butter, so we have peanut butter sandwiches. So Zeichel Chiris, we're going to eat peanut butter. What? That's not, how's that symbolic of the Geula? The fact that, punkt, we ran out of time, and therefore the bread couldn't rise, and we ended up eating crackers. It doesn't seem something that you say this thing to the Geula. So the Maral, and Nidhi the Yechidish. He says, the two Tamim, the Lechem Oni that you see at the beginning of the Pasuk, and the Halach Ma'ani at the beginning of the Haggadah, and the pshat of chipozin are the same thing. And if you're asking the question of whether matzah zeicha lecherus or zeicha leavdus, the answer is matzah is purely cherus, like the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Ches. Matzah is cherus. Either pasuk says lechem oini, and the Gemara says oini is also an inyan of oni. It's a question of poverty. So the maral exactly the same thing. Who? Because it represents poverty, it represents freedom. Now that sounds very strange, because we're used to freedom being the ability to recline, like rich people. We put out nice kelim. The cherus represents riches. And an eved, a slave, is a poor man. Is that the maral? No. The aside here is, poverty and freedom go together. Now we just have to work out what that means. Let's just think about what it means to be an Eved, what real slavery means. When we grasp the concept of slavery, we'll be able to work out what it means to become a free man. And then we can look at Chazal's understanding of freedom. An Eved, I love it today, you know, the kids come home from school and they translate the word Eved as servant. I think it's just like not nice to talk about a slave. And they're quite right. I mean, a slave is, we have no idea what slavery means. We think of slavery as like a worker who's got to work very, very hard. It's not just the whipping. It's not just the fact that he's chased. It means he has nothing of his own. He doesn't have freedom. It doesn't just mean he can't go work for someone else. He can't do his own things. He can't run his errands. An Eved belonged to his master. Mashe kono Eved. Kono rabbi. He had no ownership because he has no sense of self. He doesn't exist. He's not just not on the voting list. He doesn't. He's not a mandoma. He's exactly like an animal. You own a horse, you own a dog, and you own the slave. He was a chefter, not a gavra. He belonged to his master. He had not just no rights. He didn't really exist. There was no significance. He was there kulay to serve his master. To be an Eved means there is no self-expression, or almost no self. The tragedy of Avdus, when we talk about Avodai Heim V'loi Avodim La'Avodim, when the Rebbeinu Shlom says the worst thing a Jew can do to himself is to sell himself as a slave, is because if you're a slave, you have no vision, you have no destiny, and you have no mission. A man with a mission cannot become a slave. Because if he's a slave, he's completely subjugated to somebody else. He has no identity of his own. To be Yotze L'Cheres means a person discovers what he's here for, what his reality is. He's a man with a mission, a person with tachlis. And now, the Klal Yisrael, when they left, they could begin starting out on the journey towards their destiny. If you ever wonder, they were counting towards Matan Torah. Why didn't they start counting a little earlier while they were in Mitzrayim? An Eved can't count towards Matan Torah. When they were in Mitzrayim, they didn't exist as a people. If you're an Eved, if you belong to somebody else, you can't talk about, well, I'm on my way to anywhere. Certainly not to Matan Torah. So the essence of slavery is someone who has no self-expression. Freedom means to discover the self, to discover the tachlis, to discover where you're going and what you want to do with your life. That's what chirus really means. We all know. The moment they left, they existed.
The masters were still there.
Well, not the masters, but they still existed as a nation. They were there. They were B'nai Chayrin. Once you're a B'nai Chayrin, you can now define where you're going and what you're here for.
What about, for example, the
you think of the sugya of a person being self, being free, being able to do what they want to do. And then you come across the Mishnah, famous Mishnah, Ein lecha ben chayrin, ela mi sha'isik b'Torah. And that's very interesting, because everybody's bothered by this Mishnah. If you're honest, you read this Mishnah, you say, one second, ben chayrin? Ben chayrin's mi sha'isik b'Torah. Go tell this to a 16-year-old kid, to an 18-year-old kid. Go tell them to your kids, yeah, we're going to make you free, because I said, one second, everybody else can do whatever they want. They do what they want, when they want. They get up when they feel like. They do what they feel like. And we've got this prescriptive Shulchan Aruch that has something to say about everything. From the moment you wake up in bed, before you get out of bed, as you hear the alarm clock, before you hit snooze, the Shulchan Aruch already has something to tell you about. Maybe don't hit that snooze button. Maybe you should be getting up already. It's Gabir Kari, that's how it starts. And and before you've even gotten out of bed, you should be leaning out and washing your hands for your Negel Vasa. Do you say your Medahana before Negel Vasa, after Negel Vasa? Everything's already a Shikul. And they're from there, Hilchus Hashayotza, Hilchus Tfila, Hilchus Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. Business is dictated by three volumes of Shulchan Aruch, of Cheshem Mishpat, marriage. Every single aspect of our lives is completely controlled by the Ribbon Shalom. There's Tariag Mitzvahs, 630 Mitzvahs, but there's endless Pratim. There's not a moment in Eid's day where the Torah doesn't have something to say to him. Either something he should be doing, something he should be saying, often something he shouldn't be saying, or something he should or shouldn't be thinking. We're told what we are and are not allowed to think about. I mean, that's chayrus. It's apele. Now you can tell me it's very much for our benefit. Good. So then abdus is for our benefit. Don't tell me ein lecha ben chayrin ala misha isi batera. It's ein lecha ebed ala misha isi batera. And they're going to tell people why it's so important to be an ebed. Where do we learn it from? Altikra chorus ela chayrus. Because when it says that the Aseres Hadibros were chorus ala luchais, they were inscribed onto the luchais, it can be read, Altikra chorus ela chayrus. So there you see, also interesting, I mean, the Pasuk is talking about being inscribed on the luchais, and that's where you see the chayrus. I think we have to understand what chayrus means. In the world of Maral, what chayrus really meant, and why chayrus and anius, poverty, and freedom somehow go together. Who has an easier time making friends? Who has an easier time making friends? Poor people or rich people? Poor people or rich people? Rich people have an easier time making friends. I don't think so. They don't make friends at all. If you want to know who will be more popular, no question. The easiest route to popularity is winning the pools. You win the lottery, guy becomes a millionaire. Overnight, everyone is friendly. Everyone's his friend. Everyone's coming, saying hello, Shalom Aleichem, Mazel Tov. Never, somebody's been rich for 10 years, and then all of a sudden loses his money. Suddenly, he discovers how many real friends he had, how many people really cared, how many people cared for him and not for his money. It's very, very difficult to be a wealthy person. One of the difficulties is, one of the challenges is, you can never know whether someone's actually being your friend or is being friendly with your pocket, friendly with your purse. It's looking at your wallet or looking at you. It's very, very difficult. And the truth is not just riches, but it's almost anything that is not part of a person. As soon as he has himself and other trappings, then you don't know, is the friendship with his family or is it with him? I know people object being called by their surname, and they're right. Don't call me whatever, don't call me Goldberg. My name is whatever, Yitzchak Avraham Chai. I'm a person, I'm not just... A person wants you to be friendly with them, with their essence, with their identity. Right? If you're meeting someone, somebody's meeting a chassan, meeting a kala, who are you after? She has the same problem. If she's got other attributes that may attract him, it bothers her. Maybe that's what's pulling him. Not my personality, not my sense of self. This is the Maharal. When you talk about chayrus, chayrus is not the ability to walk around and, you know, just go for walks and tour Europe on your own with your backpack. That's not freedom. Freedom is the ability to be yourself, for the person to find within themselves that which is really him. If his neshama, if his inner self is really crying out for expression in one way, he wants to daven, he wants to learn, and the neshama really wants a kesher with people, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But his goof is pulling him in every single direction and distracting him, then he has no freedom. Because he can't really do what he needs to do. He's an eved to his own passions. The mitzvahs of the Torah are there to hold our body in check, to keep our goof controlled, so that our middos don't run away with us, and then we can do what we really want to do. The oni, the poor man who doesn't have money, represents the person who is themselves, not anything else. He is his etzem, he is himself. So the Maharal, you cannot be a ben chayrin until you're an oni. Someone who's still involved with other stuff won't find himself. The sugya of Pesach, the sugya of Chodesh Nissan, the sugya of Geulas Klal Yisrael means that when Klal Yisrael find their inner self, then they are b'nei chayrin. Others say that's good for what the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was. When Klal Yisrael get back to their essence, when Klal Yisrael are shayach to the kedusha of Nishmas Yisrael, then the Mitzrayim have no control over them. And the Mela, they have to let them go. Or when the Mitzrayim let them go, automatically they find themselves. But the sugya of Leil Pesach was about a Yid coming back to himself, being able to discover who he really was. The first stage was really realizing that he wasn't some slave of an Egyptian just there to serve him. That's not what his essence is. He has his own self. And once a person finds themselves, Mela, he can say, okay, now I'm going to make choices. An eved doesn't make choices. A free man can make choices. A free man makes choices about what he really needs to do. What is shaykh to my mitzvah, to my essence? And the choice that Klal Yisrael made then was, let's take the first step towards Har Sinai, towards Matan Torah. And nius and chayrus go together. A person who's rich, that means who's involved with other stuff, who has a relationship with his money and sees that as part of himself. He sees all the trappings, the house, and the car, and the phone, that's part of his identity, isn't a ben chayr, because he's not really himself. He's too osher to be a ben chayr. And it's a process. Sugya, of trying to find, 1 second, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not what I do. I am a yid. There was a person who came to the Bris Karov, a very famous story. And the Bris Karov said to him, what do you do? So he said, I'm a lawyer. That's what I do. So Bris Karov said, so what do you do? I said, I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer and a firm in New York. I'm part of a company. Conversation continued, and a minute or two later, the Bris Karov says to him, so what do you do? I mean, he's obviously not deaf because he heard everything else. He says, I practice law. We've got a company, we've got a group of lawyers. Lawyers are people who practice law. They write contracts and they sort of explain what he does. And Bris Karov said, I didn't ask how you earn your parnosa. I asked, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? The fact that you go to the office for so and so many hours because you have to make a parnasa, because you have to support yourself and your family and the institutions that you're there, you're achroyed to, it's very nice, it's right, but it's not who you are. The answer is, Bris Karov told him, what you should have said is, what Yoinan Avi said, Ivri Onoichi, Esolei Kimani Yore, I'm an Eved Hashem. My avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes shachris, includes mincha, includes ma'ariv, includes doing homework with my kids, includes going to work and making panos. It's all part of. But what am I doing? Ivri anoichi. I'm there to serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's a person who's a ben chayrin. A person whose answer is, I am an accountant, I am a lawyer, I am a doctor. He's not a ben chayrin because his identity is being defined by things that are outside of him. Chayrus is to get back to finding, who am I? Where's the Nishmas Yisrael, the Etzim Avus Avayit? That's why I wear a kittel on Lel Pesach, says the Maharal. A kittel is one single color. It's plain white. And there's nothing else. No designs, nothing. Design afterwards. Now Lel Pesach is the Leda of Klal Yisrael. At the point of Leda, at the point of conception, when Klal Yisrael come into existence, at that point, when you come and talk about the Leda of Klal Yisrael, that Yesh Me'ayin has to be pure Adam Atzmoy. Who are you? Where's the Yid himself without any trappings? Then, Memele, it just turns out that people who are free often will choose to spread their influence on others through their wealth. Then you can discuss wealth, but the etzim of the Seder is Chayrus. Matzah is really bread in its truest form. There's nothing added. You can take bread and you can add salt, and you can add spices, you can put in a bit of oil, and it improves it, but those tastes are not the essential basic taste of flour and water. If it's risen, so you have the taste of whatever it is, of that development of the rising of the dough and the yeast, with or without the yeast, that rising is already more than the essential basic taste of the flour and water. Matzah is something that is undeveloped, that hasn't been made into anything else. It's just the thing itself. Says the Maharal, that's why we have matzah on Leil Pesach. Matzah is not just a symbol that reminds us of Chayrus. Matzah represents Chayrus. And the truth is that we were eating matzah before we had the time of Bechipaz and Yotzasa Mimitzrayim. So we were told to eat matzah on that night. Avraham Avinu gave matzah to his guests on Pesach. Lot fed matzah to his guests on Pesach. Matzah is a Pesach digemeichel. It's oinen olav dvarim harba. Everything that we're saying, everything we're discussing about Leil Pesach is about one sugya. It's about Chayrus. Means this is the bread that we ate as we left Mitzrayim. This is what enabled us to leave Mitzrayim. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, I want you to leave. Bring your korban Pesach. Al matzah is umroirim yechlu. Make sure you're eating it with matzah. Because matzah is the meichel of Chayrus. Because it tells you nothing else, nothing outside, just the Adam Atzmi. And that then becomes the sugya of Pesach. It becomes what we're trying to develop through Chodesh Nissan, as we start, reach Chodesh Bezat Hashem next Shabbos. What we're looking for is to find the Adam Atzmi, to find who we are as people. We're not anything outside of ourselves. We're not defined by our wealth. We're not defined by our position. We're not defined even by our achievements. We're certainly not defined by the fact that we can always talk or relate to other people. Take all the trappings away and try to get back to finding the muhus of the Adam. And that's what we mean when we say, Taka, Ein lecha ben chayrin ala misha isik b'teira, a person who gives up his desires and his ritzonos and his yetzaharas and his midas, all because he understands that the tachlis of his neshama, his dveikus v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has become much more of a matzah digger person. When a person has matzah, memele his shayach, techeiris, v'shabubi zeicha, that and listen, sit in the goal to reach Taka, the true Chavis.